More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Wednesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We have so much to discuss today. The Pennsylvania Senate race, an absolute nail biter. I'm wondering, people keep asking me, I'm like, I don't know, this could come down to, I had someone text me today, they think it could come down to less than 100 votes when all said and done. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the case, but we had all three of the top candidates in that race on yesterday. You know, Kathy Barnett, Dr. Mehmet Oz, and Dave McCormick. McCormick and Oz are the ones who are locked in this absolute throwdown here. The still mail-in ballots to be counted, probably an automatic recount going to happen. This is going to be by the thinnest of margins imaginable for that Senate primary, and obviously that person then is in a very good spot, not a definite, but a good spot to take a Senate seat in the key swing state of Pennsylvania, which I believe is the third most narrowly decided 2020 state. I think it was a number three in terms of actual difference between Trump and Biden in the final tally, whatever one thinks of that tally. And I actually still have problems with the way it was done in Pennsylvania more than anywhere else, quite honestly. But we will tell you the latest on that one. We've also got our friend Bridge Colby, formerly of the Trump Pentagon, joining us to talk about the final defenders in Ukraine and Mariupol have surrendered and evacuated, and the Russian war continues on here. Two big things going on right now that could change the trajectory of the conflict. You have NATO membership application pending right now for Finland, and Sweden is up next. They're looking to join NATO, so that's a big deal. We'll talk to him about that. And then Senator Ron Johnson, of course, Title 42 ending soon. And the Biden administration says that they're going to be able to handle this. But the senator from Wisconsin will be joining us to talk about what's going on there. Plus, Clay, do you see somebody, and we should talk about this as well separately, but there's a kid who had a Title IX complaint brought against him in Wisconsin for using the wrong pronoun, supposed to use, according to the school, plural pronoun for a non-binary individual. This is what, under Title IX, they're using Title IX now as the basis for this. So we'll bring that up again later. I want to ask the senator about that one. How that could be going on anywhere seems just crazy. But we want to start with something that's something of a victory. You have today the news breaking that Nina Jankowicz, Soviet Mary Poppins.
Such a great nickname.
Thank you, sir. She has been told that she's going to have to be singing her deep state musicals somewhere else because the disinformation board, after only a few weeks of its creation, has been paused. Clay, it turns out when people find out what the anti-speech Democrat apparatus is up to behind closed doors, it's a problem for them. Doesn't go so well.
Yeah, Buck, this is another big win. And we're starting to stack some dubs. I gotta say, as you start to look at the trajectory of the country. Now, the way that this story broke, and I know you read this article too. So it came out from the Washington Post. And if you read it, it's the entire conveyance is how the Biden administration basically failed, the Soviet Mary Poppins, as you just said it. In terms of supporting her. And there's all these lines in the article where they basically imply that the reason why they had to shut it down, was because, there was all this attack on her from right wing propagandists and everything else. And people Shudder went back through her history of online statements to demonstrate that of all the people who could have been disinformation board heads, that she was one of the worst. They shared different clips and things that she had said. And the whole thing is sort of a whining, a woe is me. Look at how unfair the internet is. They've said mean things about Nina Jankowicz. Ultimately, however, they have only suspended this, although it feels like this is basically dead. And so what it means is even CNN Plus, as the House Judiciary Committee tweeted out, outlasted the Ministry of Truth in the Biden administration. But this was just an epically bad decision, Buck. It was rolled out in an epically bad fashion. And it led to me honestly asking the question, it felt like when this came out, that the Biden administration last night, you probably didn't pay attention. I didn't watch it. But they had the NBA draft lottery. You know, the worst teams get the best picks. It really does feel to me, and I think we need to start to get this, this idea circulating more, that the Biden administration is trying to tank for the number one pick because it feels like they're trying to lose, Buck, in everything.
It's like the plot of Major League, the movie,
yes,
which is a great movie.
Oh, and great movie.
Pick the worst team possible so you can relocate to Miami, which, by the way, not the worst plan I've ever heard.
Would have been, actually, yeah, not a bad move. Now they're not even the Cleveland Indians, by the way. They're the Cleveland Guardians because the word Indians is offensive.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. So there seems to be a clear effort underway from the Democrat Party, and it's a long-standing effort to control speech. That's something we'll be talking about more here, to either police speech or to ban it. They're quite open about they want more internet monitoring of extremist content. So interesting, by the way, Clay, because I come from a counterterrorism analysis background from within the government, and I remember Democrats We're always the ones who are saying, hold on a second, we don't want to stigmatize anybody by having certain chat rooms monitored or certain, you know, it is
wild to think about how much the Democrat Party has changed when it comes to issues of speech.
Well, but think about the reversal.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the era of Al-Qaeda and then ISIS, when jihadist plots were a relatively regular phenomenon, unfortunately, in America and the West, you know, mass casualty terror plots. I had to work against some of those plots specifically, but there was always this concern about the different guidelines about where you could put, in the case of law enforcement, an undercover operative and what they could report on and who they, and it was always the Democrats who were saying, how dare you look at this group? How dare you stigmatize this group? Even when sometimes it was a bunch of guys sitting around saying, you know, let's get some Stinger missiles and shoot them at planes. I mean, they were always taking a very, you know, don't surveil position, right? They were always the ones that were holding back on the state apparatus of that. Now they want to expand surveillance as if that would stop this obvious psychopath. I mean, this true, I mean, psychopathy is a real thing, and it's a real medical diagnosis. People can get, this kid was clearly psychopathic. And it just feels more and more, Clay, like we can't even have a discussion about fundamental agreement areas in America. You know, if we now say to Democrats, hey, we can agree that free speech is a foundational principle, and that includes speech that offends you, and it actually does even include hate speech, they will say no. They will say that's not true. Free speech does not, government protected free speech does not include things that are hateful. And I just thought this was so interesting. It's like we're living in an alternative universe. This was on The View, which is, you know, I don't even have a clever thing to say about it, other than I think it's the dumbest show on TV. Here, Clay, react to this one. This is Sonny Hostin telling everybody, you know, the Republicans are super extreme. Democrats, we're like so moderate.
They are playing to the base. I mean, if you look at all the studies, the Republican Party has moved further to the right than Democrats have to the left. There's a Pew Research Center analysis that finds that on average, Democrats and Republicans are farther apart ideologically today than at any time in the past 50 years. And that ideological divide breaks down to the Republican Party being an extremist party. And the Democratic Party actually, as you just mentioned, Sarah, moving more to the center.
But isn't the problem that is the primaries? Because you can't get through these primaries unless you are extreme.
I legitimately wonder whether these women are even smart enough to realize how dumb they sound. And I can speak to this pretty straightforward. I know, Buck, Elon Musk shared the meme where he showed himself and where he stood on the political spectrum in 2008. And then it shows the left wing of the Democratic Party basically running out of control. And he's now moved to the right side of the political equation. And I saw yesterday or the day before where Elon Musk said he was going to vote for a Republican for president for the first time ever in 2024. I think he basically said, or maybe it was vote for Republicans in 2022. I know exactly what that feels like. Because that's me. We've talked about this before. You, when you were 12, you're like, hey, I'm all in on
I want to dress like William F. Buckley.
Yeah. You are, which is a credit to you because you're growing up in Manhattan of all places where you're less comfortable probably as a conservative almost in the entire country. I grew up in Tennessee where certainly it's been a red state, although it's interesting to think about using my state as a proxy. Buck, people forget Bill Clinton won Tennessee in 1992 and in 1996. I mean, he won Arkansas. He won Georgia. He won a lot of southern states that he would have 0% chance of winning. And by the way,
wasn't Al Gore? Tennessee was Al Gore's state.
Yeah, right. Obviously Gore was elected multiple times, but my state is kind of a rough approximation for how I have evolved politically. Because Tennessee has become a Republican state. Bill Clinton 1992 and certainly Bill Clinton 1996 would be a Republican platform. And so this argument that Democrats have somehow come back towards the center is madness. Remember, Bill Clinton was who rescued the Democrat Party from losing all the time by being a centrist and sort of embracing that triangulation aspect. But the fact that you would even try to argue on The View that Democrats are the party of moderation is madness to me. And I don't even understand if those women are smart enough to realize how dumb they sound. Because if they are, then they're playing a role. But I think they believe, because they're all so dumb, what they are actually saying.
You have people that are going around on national TV, Clay, and we'll spend a little bit of time explaining how not just crazy this is, but destructive it is, that they really want to make it where the Republican Party is a terrorist party.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do.
I mean, as if that is based in any reality whatsoever. But this is how hateful and insane, this is mainstream among a lot of Democrats now, to think that Republicans, because of January 6th, because of Trump-Russia collusion, I mean, just think about it. If they were willing to even say, we were totally wrong about Russia stealing the election and Trump working with Russia, that would be that admission would be so helpful, I think, in bringing the country back to a place where, okay, we can have normal discussions now. They've never done that. They've never done it over COVID, by the way, and the lockdowns and the mask mandates and vaccines either. They keep on mass mobilizing around what you see on social media as the current thing. They mass mobilize as a Democrat Party. Turns out that they're wrong. What they said wasn't true. And they just move on to the next thing. And it's always just about attack the opposition with everything you have. Never. Maybe we shouldn't have done that. Maybe that was wrong.
Yeah. And by the way, we need to mention COVID, too, because the numbers that are coming out, you and I have been texting about this some. And we need to probably get Alex Berenson on again. I know he was on Friday, but to talk about some of these data and details, it's getting increasingly difficult to argue. When you see all of the states that are the most vaccinated and the most boosted consistently having the most people hospitalized and the most people testing positive for COVID, That's getting increasingly difficult to be able to explain away, Buck. And I don't, increasingly what I'm seeing is there's almost a refusal to even acknowledge that that data exists, right? Like, remember for a long time, what they tried to say was, oh, look at all the dumb red state Trump voters. They're not wearing masks. Look at the COVID rates there. Look at the COVID rates right now. And the places that are the most vaccinated, the most masked, the most boosted are overwhelmingly posting the highest numbers of cases, hospitalizations, and increasingly deaths.
Come into that and more, team. Stay with us. Relief Factor, friends. It's a product that provides a solution for people dealing with everyday pain. It goes to the source of that discomfort, which is often inflammation. Created by doctors and perfected over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor is also 100% drug-free. It doesn't take long to determine if Relief Factor might work for you. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have taken Relief Factor to find relief from pain. Nearly 7 out of 10 of those people go on to order more. All it takes is 3 weeks and $20 to see if it works for you. Our friends at Relief Factor have developed a 3-week quick start pack. You take Relief Factor 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 3 weeks, and you'll know if it works for you or not. Relief Factor works for Heather for sure. She's a listener living in Georgia. She wrote in to say it's the first pain relief product she's comfortable taking daily without concern for her health long term. Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Either way, get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. One more time, go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Move more, live more, and just enjoy your life more with Relief Factor.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green, Ashley McBride, Brothers Osborne, Walker Hayes, all hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center, Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from my, this idea of is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
My own worst enemy bringing us back in. My own worst enemy, a lot of you feel like, is the Biden administration. All Day Long, great song, by the way. We had a fun musical event here in the neighborhood, Buck, and they had a 90s tribute band, and that was the first song they played. We're talking about dishonesty a lot to start off the show today, because the Ministry of Truth and the Biden administration is on pause and hopefully en route to being shut down. But the degree to which lies have been enabled based on the Buffalo shooting and an opportunity to blame Republicans for it is really, quite frankly, insanely wild, even for left-wing lies. Listen to USC professor Errol Suthers here and what he argues the Republican Party should be called.
We have to treat it as a terrorist threat that it is. You know, we rallied on 9/11.
there was no question about what the country was going to do. We are facing the same threat, and we need to go one step further. We should label them the domestic terrorist party. Put this to the director of national intelligence, make this a national security threat, vet our police departments, and go back and then start to educate local, state, federal law enforcement on what this threat really is, and start educating and make our communities aware of how vulnerable they are and how they are that enabling community that needs to rally against this threat.
This is a professor, apparently, at USC, which is not impressive and means nothing, right? When you think about professors, there are a lot of lunatics running around. This was one of the craziest things. At a period of a lot of overheated rhetoric, I can't think of anything more insane than with this guy. So he wants the Republican Party. He wants the Democrat Biden administration, which is divisive and incompetent, to label the Republican Party a terrorist party. I mean, is he calling for a civil war? What does he think that would do?
The number, look, we condemn the shooting in Buffalo as we condemn all murders on this show. But the percentage of murders that are being committed by anyone with racist intent in this country is a pinprick of the overall murder rate, right? So I don't even understand how you can try and draw connections to 9/11 when you look at the number of people that are dying on a day-to-day basis all over this country in violent deaths. I agree. I would love for that to be infinitely lower. But if you eliminated all race-related murders, Buck, we still have 98-97% of all the murders that are taking place in this country. It's a pinprick. And I got to tell you, as we break this down and continue, I think it's important to support the advertisers on this show. And MyPillow is a big supporter of this show, and they've got incredible products. And right now, they've got a buy one, get one free extravaganza on multiple products you've heard us talk about and describe with our promo code Clay and Buck. You can get buy one, get one free on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and Roll and Go Anywhere MyPillows. All these products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Here's how you get them. Go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials to check out the buy one, get one free deal on select products. And with our promo code Clay and Buck, you get a copy of Mike Lindell's book free with your purchase.
What happened here is simple and straightforward. Terrorism, domestic terrorism, violence inflicted in the service of hate. You can't prevent people from being radicalized to violence. But we can address the relentless exploitation of the internet to recruit and mobilize terrorism. You just need to have the courage to do that, to stand up.
Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. There you had yesterday, Joe Biden addressing the country about Buffalo. We've discussed the aftermath of that attack here on the show, and it's the most straightforward and morally obvious thing you could ever imagine, that what happened in Buffalo is a horrific, awful crime, an act of pure evil. And there is agreement across America about that. Any American who wouldn't think so would be also a psychopath in need of probably being taken out of society and kept in some kind of a facility, right? I mean, this is the worst kind of mass murder. So we have clarity on that point. There's no disagreement on that point at all. Now we talk about what can you do to stop this sort of thing. It's interesting to watch how the Democrats mobilize against very specific individuals, naming people even, that they say create a climate of hate. Now, you know, I remember, for example, very clearly during the BLM era and during some of the anti-cop rhetoric that occurred, there were people who would chant pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, racist murdering cops need to stop now. I mean, all you know, the cops are racist murderers constantly. This was I saw this at protest. Then eventually, I think it was in 2015, there was a mass murder of police officers, six officers killed in Dallas by a BLM anti-cop believer. And there was a discussion that lasted a very short period of time about, well, hold on a second. This person is acting in specific response to a narrative that wasn't some fringe thing on the internet. It wasn't some theory that came out of nowhere. It was actually the mainstream talking points of a major movement with the Democrat Party. That was a discussion that should have occurred, I think, longer, Clay. But it also didn't turn into Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Rachel Maddow. They're responsible for what that shooter did in Dallas, because that's just bad faith. That's just slander. That's just people trying to attack individuals. That is what the Democrats are doing here, just by way of comparison.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the Bernie Sanders supporter.
That's the one that I think is the perfect
James
analogy.
Hodgkinson. He said, yes, this is for healthcare, pure,
yes,
political ideology, citing a politician. And I have never said, nor I'm sure have you ever said, Clay, and you're before we joined up here, that it was Bernie Sanders' fault that there was an attempted mass assassination. Steve Scalise almost bled to death on a baseball field, the sitting member of Congress.
Yep.
Didn't blame individuals for that. Now, we could talk about a little bit of overheated rhetoric. The Democrats, meanwhile, are discussing mobilizing government resources to silence broadly an ideology that has no act. When you look at the actual manifesto of the shooter, there's no clear tie whatsoever to actual Republican Party doctrine, dogma, talking points, you name it. So they're fabricating this. The guy is a psychopath. He talks about communism. He's an eco-terrorist. He's an 18-year-old with a diseased and demented brain that needed to be locked up. And now they want to have greater monitoring online. Can I just, Clay, here's one of the Democrat sort of strategists you see on MSNBC said exactly what's going on here out loud.
Make the Republicans own it. Every Republican politician, every Republican candidate, ask them about it. Make it, because they can't run from it, because it's part of who they are at this point, as disgusting as that is. But make it the Republican replacement theory. Mainstream it, because this is the way you have to scare. We don't have the economy on our side as Democrats. So you have to scare the bejesus out of people. The way to scare it is say, you know, this replacement theory, this is not just coming from some dark corner of the web. This is the Republican platform. Make them own it. And Democrats run from this fistfight. You talked about the president not wanting to call out names. Call out Tucker Carlson. Call out the politicians and make them own it. This is a Republican platform. It's the racist Republican replacement theory.
Pure propaganda, Clay.
Buck, all they have is to call everyone who disagrees with them racist or sexist or homophobic or transphobic. And what they are finding, I think, and I want to talk more about this kid, because I do think there are some interesting stories. Maybe at the top of the next hour, dive into that, because I don't want to say his name, because I hate giving credence to these lunatic shooters, no matter what their motivations are. But what is going on here, Buck, is you've got the boy who cried wolf scenario. Every time Democrats scream, that's racist, every single time it happens, fewer people turn their head and look. And that's where we are right now. There is a massive tidal wave building of people who recognize that is their entire party platform right now. It is to label everything as racist and then to try to cancel people. That's basically the entirety of the Democrat Party platform right now. And every single time they scream it, fewer people, white, black, Asian, and Hispanic, are turning their head. And they are so desperate, because by far the biggest story for every voter out there is the economy, the economy, the economy. And we're at a 40-year high in inflation. And all they have is to try to distract from what is going on. I'm reading this morning, Buck, Walmart missed their earnings because they can't even manage to raise prices fast enough to be able to create profits like they normally would. And because many people are already starting to transition and buy lower priced products. So this is hitting people right in their pocketbooks. And what they need to have happen is for distraction to take people away from what's the reality is.
They're telling us that they're openly politicizing this,
yes,
because of exactly what you just said, because they know they're about to lose power. And so anything, even politicizing the deaths of those from a mass shooting that just happened right away, and politicizing it by attacking named individuals. Chuck Schumer sent a letter to Fox News. They want
demanding he be pulled off the air. It's a disgrace.
This is a federal official who's saying the Tucker Carlson show should be pulled off of the air because of what exactly? Well, they
There's
don't
not
really
a
know. They just
single mention of Tucker Carlson in this entire kid's
180-page manifesto.
Crazy manifesto.
It was huge. I mean, it was very, very long, rambling, insane. And just if anyone's wondering, the fact that they're citing, oh, we need to respond to this like it's a 9/11 style threat. You're hearing some people say this because they're just going with the most overheated rhetoric possible. On 9/11, we had almost 3,000 people killed in one day in what was the first of many planned terror attacks from a terrorist group that had access, funding, ideology, disbursement around the world. It yes. had some level of nation state support, okay? It was an existential threat to the United States. A psychopathic 18-year-old kid who was a mass murderer and who decapitated the family cat because he's an evil person. There are just evil people in the world. As awful as he is, you know, Ted Bundy was not a strategic national security threat to the United States. He was an evil mass murderer.
Yeah.
And they keep trying to expand this out. I did this work professionally for years. They don't know what the heck they're talking about. Or actually, no, I'm sorry. They do. They're just lying. they know this is an absurd exaggeration.
Think about the reaction. If after that shooting happened at the softball field, when Steve Scalise almost lost his life, and that was a Bernie supporter.
Yeah. Rand Paul had AR-15 rounds flying past him, literally. That day, yes. as did many other members of Congress.
If the reaction had been, we need to ban Rachel Maddow. If somebody inside of the Republican Party had written a letter to NBC and said, you have to pull Rachel Maddow off the air because this was a left-wing attacker and many of the crazy ideas that he had, also obviously a Bernie supporter. But if that letter had been written, Democrats would have lost their mind. They would have said this is a direct attack upon American democracy. This is a direct attack upon the First Amendment, journalism itself. Yet Chuck Schumer does it, and almost no one even reacts on that side of the party line to how crazy it is. It's madness. It really is madness. And it's also just deceitful lies. Keep talking about this and more. Pure Talk, by the way, you want to save some money? How about $900 a year? Almost everyone out there listening right now has Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. Your family could be saving $900 a year if you had Pure Talk. These guys have been into my house. My own son has a Pure Talk wireless phone, absolutely loves it. You get the same 5G network. You get to keep your cell phone number and your cell phone. It's really simple. You just get to save $900 a year. And you don't have to compromise on your values either, because Pure Talk's a company whose customer service right here in the U.S. and whose CEO proudly served our country. Their pricing's amazing. Unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data, just $30 a month, which is why from your cell phone, you need to dial #250, say Clay and Buck, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. You can literally be switched over to Pure Talk in less than 10 minutes. Here's how you do it. Grab those phones in your hand, dial #250, say Clay and Buck.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban, Jelly Roll, Old Dominion, Lady A, Riley Green, Ashley McBride, Brothers Osborne, Walker Hayes, all hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center, Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from my, this idea of what, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We were just mentioning the letter, by the way, that Senator Schumer wrote. Tucker Carlson, we should mention, I think we mentioned this yesterday too, offered to have Senator Schumer on his show. He refused to go on, despite the fact that he's demanding that Tucker Carlson's show be canceled by Fox News. And Buck, I was saying, I kind of dove into to this shooter, this 18-year-old, and while everybody's talking a lot about the blame, and the blame seems to be almost entirely trying to be foisted upon the Republican Party and to Fox News and probably this radio program and all these other different places. Can we talk some for just a sec about parental responsibility? If your 18-year-old has severe mental health issues such that he is decapitating the family cat, you need to be paying incredible attention to what your kid is doing. And I say that as the father of three boys. I try to get my son's phone and go through and look at the places that he is visiting online, and he may be smarter than me and be able to hide it. But this kid wrote a how many hundred page manifesto on a computer? Hundreds of pages.
180. Yeah.
180 pages. You are a parent. And your psychologically unstable kid who's decapitating the cat is on the internet writing a 180-page manifesto, and you know nothing about it? You know nothing about the choices that he's making? And by the way, he ended up acting out against all these innocent people in Buffalo, but he could have been acting out against your own family. So how in the world, if you want to talk about, let's talk about parental responsibility. So many of these shootings are directly related to parents looking the other way. These violent acts that are occurring are a perfect example of parental abdication. And this kid had all sorts of mental health issues. And in reading, it appears that both of his parents are civil engineers. So they certainly had the resources to be able to take care of this kid in some way. And instead, they're letting him spend all of his time on the cesspool of the internet, polluting what was already a broken mind to the point where he gets here. Let's talk about that. I don't hear hardly anybody discussing it.
He also, in the manifesto, says that he self-radicalized during the COVID lockdown.
And, yes, and which is an important another, part of this, too.
There's a part of this. And by the way, I what I am not doing is saying this guy did this thing because of COVID lockdowns. What I am saying is the amount of mass psychological damage that was done to society, but specifically to young people from these completely inhumane, unnecessary lockdowns, school closures, and all the rest, that hurt tens of millions of people.
Yeah.
And in the outlier case of somebody who's already clearly, you know, has a severe mental health issue, right? I mean, they're not talking, we don't even have great terminology. Psychopathy is what any psychologist would tell you. Inability to feel for the pain of other people, to care about the pain of other people. This kid's clearly a true psychopath. No one, you know, when you say mental health issues, it could be somebody who has a little bit of anxiety, right? This
yeah,
is a
right.
severe mental health issue this kid has. But there was a lot of damage done all across society to a lot of people's mental health. And in this case, you had somebody where there was already that combustible mix of he's a psychopath, and now he's sitting at home all day and just self-radicalizing even further.
And I would just say to parents out there, and I know, look, a lot of kids are smarter about using the internet and technology than parents are. But we have, for instance, a computer that the kid has to use in a public venue, right? In the house, where anybody could walk by at any point in time. And I'm not saying my kids are perfect by any stretch of the imagination. That's why we have the computers out in the public here. You got to know where your kids are going online, right? Because especially if your kid has severe mental health issues, which this kid did, and is even more susceptible to the dark forces, I would say, of the internet that could help to enable and encourage him to make this choice. And if he's behaving violently like this, maybe don't allow him to have easy access to weapons either if he's living inside of your home. Because if he's willing to do this to someone at a Buffalo grocery store, it could have easily been your own family, right? I mean, if you want to talk, everybody who is 18 or older is ultimately responsible for their own actions. That's point number one. But if you want to say as part of point number two, what else was at play for an 18-year-old who was living at home, instead of focusing on Fox News and the media environment and the internet, how about we talk about these parents who failed on such an epic level that they allowed their kid to descend to this level of violence and were not able to remotely stop it, despite the fact that based on being civil engineers, Buck, they have to have some resources. It's not as if this kid was living in a no parent household with nobody else around. He's got two brothers.
He was
too.
Taken to the emergency room for a psych evaluation when he said he wanted to be a mass shooter. And so that also raises, I mean, you're talking about parental responsibility.
Came from the school, right?
Yeah.
The school tournament.
That's right. Well, what about the responsibility of the state here?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to talk about, if we're going to discuss prevention or at least limiting the chances that something like this could happen again in the future, any kind of mass shooting in the future, you would want to look at, there were red flags. People saw them. There was action taken. It wasn't enough. Well, what does that mean we should do going forward? And then you have conversations about involuntary commitment for psychiatric reasons. Now, those are also
tough,
thorny discussions.
But, yes.
But that's an actual banning AR-15s in a handful of states going into a midterm election. That's not going to do anything. So Democrats are going to just return to the same talking points as they always do. Remember, we've got some great guests lined up here. We have Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin coming up in a little bit. And we'll also talk about Ukraine, the war there with Russia. Our friend Bridge Colby on that next hour.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.